Okay. It's because I'm standing on holy ground. Actually, it's more because my feet get really hot and I just want to be comfortable as I express. What's that? Yeah, they're doing that. So that's why the shoes are off. Although the holy ground is here. And I would say that the holy ground is inside of me, right? He's bringing us into a new place of understanding. The holy ground is in here. And for that matter, my heart, I just feel this. My heart is like a burning bush. Cause it's just burning. And it's like, there's a bush it's natural, like the heart, right? But when God's fire gets on it, it consumes. Not to actually burn the heart up, that would be scary. But he's burning in my heart, and it's just yielding something amazing, and I can't describe it, but there was a great word by Jimmy before when she prayed for me, just to let him in. I believe that he's shaking off old mindsets about things like the soul realm. There's an old mindset that says that the soul is deceptive and evil and dirty and it needs to go, whatever, unless you're fully yielded to him, unless you've allowed him to give you a new heart, like his word says, unless we're being sanctified and changed and purified in him, because this is living proof. Like I see, like there's a burning that's happening in, like, you know, like through the Spirit, because we all know the Spirit is made new and clean, but now it's coming into my soul realm, and there's even room for the body as well. Paul says, I want to see you preserved blameless till the coming of the Lord, body, soul, and spirit. So even the body, that resurrection power that gives life to our mortal bodies. It's not just when we die, guys. But that's another subject for another time. So my soul is just burning, and it's just because the love of God is so fierce and so powerful. And actually, I almost forgot. I had a word for someone. So maybe we'll actually never get to the meat of the. But it's just a time of ministry today. It's for that woman in the corner there. What was her name? Linda. So when Doris was up here and she prophetically shared her insight on seeing the line of Judah and he showed his teeth, I also saw something and it spoke to me in a different way too, and it was huge, and those teeth to me, it was the fierce and unrelenting love of God. And when I was walking back there, I saw you and I'm like, that's it. And just completely clicked. And I just believe that the fierce love of God, his unrelenting love for you, I was like overwhelmed and almost captivated by it for you. And that's me. Like I can't imagine the love of the Father for you. And I just saw him like a lion, that fierce love that stops at nothing. And it's too late. He's going to break through no matter what. Even when there it seems like every impossibility in your life and every obstacle, he's breaking through the obstacles even right now. And I believe that there is truth, like as you open your yourself and just let him in, I believe that there is truth in that, in his love only, just his love, that's just going to set you free. I just see so much freedom through his love for you. So I just wanted to share that real fast. So anyway, I feel like the Lord is just breaking off all mindsets, and he's doing something new in the body of Christ. I really feel that. And at first, I was like, okay, Lord, what are you doing that's new? Because you're always the same, right? There's something new, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus isn't like the worldly kind of new. New in this world usually speaks of something new, but then it's going to get old. But Jesus, not Jesus. He's always new. So he's not doing something new in that regard. Jesus is the same now and forever and always, or always and forever, but he's doing something new in our hearts and our ability to expand. And I feel like it's the prayer of Jabez to expand our borders, to expand them. And again, we're looking in the inside. We're not looking at the physical land. We're looking in the inside. He's expanding our hearts and our minds and our souls and our spirits to fully grasp the depth and the height of the revelation of Christ, because there's so much more. When Jimmy tapped my hands before, I was so excited already, but as soon as she touched me and walked away, I began to weep, because I've just been so captivated by this thing. Yet as soon as she did that, I felt more, and I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, there's more, Lord, help me. because I'm barely containing it now. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I really don't. Like, I'm like way over my head, guys. Like over my head. Like, you know, this isn't me. Like, this isn't who I am naturally. But you could ask my wife, you know, I'm hanging out in the morning and I'm like, yeah. Like I'm just like, you know, trying to keep my cool. And she's like, what happened? I was like, I don't know. I'm just excited about Jesus. But really, so I believe he's moving in a very simple yet profound way, and it looks like deeper understanding of the gospel. So the expansion of the borders, what does that mean? What it means to me is the wineskins, right? Like, I don't want to wrap myself around this, or try to, with the old wineskins. If you know anything about fermentation, that's just bad news. Like, you just don't want to put the new grapes in there. Like, so when you've been expanded and opened up to the maximum capacity, like, it's not going to move. It's not going to get any bigger. You're just there. You're tight. That's it. Like, and then you put new wine in that thing. Like, again, fermentation, my brother John knows, like, that thing is just, I mean, it's going to go. And, it looks like explosion. It's not going to hold it. That would be a bummer. So we want to wrap our heads around this and gain understanding with the new wineskin. So, I really believe that prophetically he is preparing us, our hearts as the body of Christ, to be able to understand so much deeper, and it looks like the gospel. So I'm going to look at my very few notes. I'm going to I confess this morning, I am taking kind of a risk. This is only like my second, third time or something like that, but like, you know, usually I like to be a little more structured and prepare notes, but this time, I mean, I knew the idea, I threw a couple things down, but that was like it. I didn't have anything. Like, I didn't have like an exact structure to this. I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, help me, because you're like, he's expanding me, he's stretching me, and so he just said, like, rely on my spirit and go with the flow. You know, where the wind is taking you of the spirit. So I'm going to do it. Okay. So that makes, is that okay? Okay. So today, what I do know is that I want to talk about the depth of the gospel. Because I believe that for years, for so long, I'm just going to be straight, guys. We've been fed an incomplete, impartial, watered down gospel that is self-serving and not transforming. Okay. Can we get on that? I want to speak about the depth of the gospel and the blood of Jesus, because it is so powerful. And this is what, for 15 years of what I thought was Christianity in my Christian life, I had this understanding where, you know, I was a Christian to go to heaven. Like, isn't that what we're usually told? Oh, brother, if you die tomorrow, or you step outside and a Mack truck hits you, whatever, you know, do you know where you're going? And I don't mean to completely knock that, okay? Like, you know, some people have come into the kingdom that way, and God is we're all in process, and it's all good, right? But there's so much more, because even right there, it's still self-seeking. Where am I going? Whatever. When it's really about who I'm becoming and who I'm living for. It's not this little, you know, this little, did you accept Jesus into your heart? You know, did you ask Jesus into your heart? Like, and I'm like, where is that in the Bible? Where is that in there? It'd be a shame if we gave him his, like, our heart, but not the rest of us. It'd be a shame if I let him in this little, you know, this little pocket and not the rest of me. It's more this overarching theme that I continually see every day, which is die so that you may live. It's not Jesus incorporated. Incorporate him into your life, because I was set up for so much failure because my eyes were on me. It was all about me, and when I didn't perform the way I wanted to, right? I was set up for constant disappointment. But then about a year and a half ago, he captured and consumed my heart like no other. And that same fierce love came. You know, the love of the lion just came in, and it loved me too much to see me just conformed, or just half, or even give him most, but not all. Like, you know, let me keep 10%. Nope. 1%. No. He wanted all of me. And I have to say, he got me. And it's just getting crazy. It's getting crazy. It's amazing. So he changed my life. And so I just want to share about this, because it is the gospel. It's so simple, yet so profound. one of my only notes here. We see God's original intent for our lives in the life of Jesus. Just let that sink for a second. Everything that God intended for us to be like, to look like, to do, was performed right in front of our eyes in the life of Jesus, okay? And so that settles so many arguments, like, you know, right away that speaks to the fact that, okay, if Jesus did it, then I can do it, right? Like, that argument is settled with me. Like, I just don't even argue about it anymore. Like, oh, the, you know, the gift ceased at the Church of Acts or this or whatever. Like, I mean, Jesus is perfect doctrine. Bill Johnson says it very well. Jesus is perfect doctrine. So if he did it, then I could do it. So that's all the yay stuff, right? All the exciting things. That is exciting. However, I do want to focus on some other things that Jesus did that beckons for us to do the same, namely the suffering and the death part of it. Okay, Philippians 3:10. Feel free to turn there. Okay, Paul says, he makes this really powerful declaration and statement. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Woo! That's great. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh. Where are you going with this, Paul? Being conformed to him in his death. Ooh, ouch. So right there, Paul is saying, like, that is a life that is completely, like, he's dead. He's already died to him, to himself, and that's the pattern that's laid out for us as a Christian. So it's so much bigger than obviously a life just in, like, you know, with Jesus incorporated, right? It's not some incorporation. It's that Jesus becomes our life. You know, I was thinking about the seed, and when Jesus said a seed must die, right, fall to the ground and die first before it could come to life. And so I have a garden, most of you know, and I love this plant called arugula. It's this wonderful, you know, salad green. It's like, it's got just a little bit of bitterness. It's got a little nutty. It's tangy. It's got a little spice. Excellent stuff, right? And I grow rows of it. And so towards the end, you know, of the season, when it's just getting real, real bitter and real strong, it starts to brown up, and that plant begins to die. It completely dies, right? And then, like, it gets these little seed pods, and like, you know, if I were to try to harvest the seeds too early, you know, while they're still green, I pop them open in my hand, and there are these green seeds. If I plant plant these seeds, there's no way that they're going to germinate. There's too much life in them. They still have to go through the whole life cycle, and those pods are supposed to get brown and die back, and then, like, it's so dead and so dry that you shake the pod and you could hear it, like, that's when you know it's ready. So if you don't harvest it, they'll eventually fall to the ground, or you can harvest it and plant it. But deep inside, so, like, what seems to be so dead, you even hold the seeds in your hands and, like, man, that's brown and it's dry and it's just, like, you know, there's no life in it. But deep inside, like a seed within the seed, is this embryo, and in there is the life. And all the other stuff, it serves a little bit of purpose, but it's dead. Okay, so we know that a seed must die in the process to be able to produce more seeds. And the really neat thing is, when a seed dies, it, like, come the right season, it'll germinate, produce more plants that just, I mean, they just sow on their own. Inside one acorn, I read once, one acorn, it seems to be dead, something that you just put on your table as a decoration, like a pine cone or something. Inside one is the DNA of a whole tree, which in that is the capacity for a whole forest. And that's and that, to me, is the kingdom. Okay, so a couple of scriptures here where, you know, like, it just sounds like the downer, the whole dead thing to me. Like, when I talk about dying, I get so excited, because for me it means life. Like, it's no longer Jesus Christ Incorporated. It is die so that you may live. And so now I'm free from me. And now, you know, now it's just like, I'm so free. It's ridiculous. Like, I no longer live, you know, for my own dreams. Everything is his. It's by him, for him, and through him. And so, like, for me, death to myself was, like, the best news ever. So I'm just going to go through a few scriptures here to just kind of nail down this point. Because the problem here, many times in the gospel, we're not preached the whole thing. When Jesus said, if anyone come after me, he must pick up his cross and have a better day, right? No, he says, deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. Follow him where? Okay, so Colossians 3:11 says, and this is like in the theme of death and life, right? Die so that you may be raised, bury, raised. Okay, Colossians 3:11, since then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. The NLT says, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Oh man, that's an exciting subject. That is so good. That is faith, right? Like, faith is when we're living not by sight, the things that we see, but the things that decide who we are and everything we do is from there. Heaven is not some far off land that we're going to get to one day and know when I die. And, you know, in the meantime, it's just one big battle, brother, against me, that inner turmoil in Romans 7, which is not for us, by the way. But heaven is now. We operate from heaven. It is our inheritance because we're already there. We're already seated there in such a mighty way, and that, to me, is the exact manifestation of what faith looks like. When Jesus walked, he was not moved the same by everything that he saw, but he acted out of the reality of the kingdom of heaven. So the truth of heaven spoke louder than circumstances, than earthly consequences and circumstances. So since then, you have been raised with Christ. There's the raising. Okay, Ephesians 2:6, real quick. And God raised us up with him, with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2:12, real fast. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Yay. So, not only do sometimes we don't have enough revelation of the fact that we died, we also sometimes don't have enough revelation of the fact that we've been raised with him. This is the gospel. This is the completeness with him. So it's no longer we who lived, but it is it is Christ living in us. The old has passed away, but now we're made new. We're a new creation. I'm really glad that they sang that song this morning. No pressure, John. I was like, wait, you're not going to sing that song? And he's like, well, I decide not to. I'm like, okay, well, the whole message basically hinges on the theme of that song, but no pressure at all. He's like, okay, I'll do it. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Are you sure? Okay. But I love that song. It says, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour it out. So we pour out, right? We pour out our praise. I love that it says that, and I love the fact that when Jesus had conquered the grave, done everything that he did, that he appeared to his disciples, and what did he do? He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I love the fact that in Genesis 1, that is where the gospel begins. If we want to understand the gospel, we have to go back to Genesis 1 and see what God's original intent and purpose and value was for our life, right? So he breathes on man, and he becomes a living soul. So, like we discussed last week, glory begot glory, love begot love. We were born out of perfection in the very nature and the image of God. And he says it like three times in case we missed it, the first or second, that he made man in his image and his likeness, guys. That is our inheritance, image, likeness, and then our purpose, which is relationship with him, right? To know him as our Father. We all know the story. Sin came. You know, we fell and we fell hard and we got cut off. We got cut off from love. And since then, we were looking for love in all the wrong places. We were cut off from the glory, the image of God. In fact, we even switched it, traded it without even realizing it. And we were without hope in this world. But Jesus. So Jesus came back not just for sinners, okay? Like we always say, he came to save the sinners. Yes, but there's so much more than that. He came to bring back the lost sons, okay? We were talking before about value. It's really important that we get the value of who we are. Because, without those answers, why are we doing any of this? But it's the why in your life that's going to give you the purpose and the grace to be able to get through every trial and every season in your life. So why did he come? Is because he never lost sight of his original intention for me. Even when I didn't even realize it and I was in my worst day, he still saw me for what he made me to be, for his first intent for my life. That makes sense? So man lost that, but then Jesus came back. We lost his image and likeness, right? So then Jesus came to earth. He gave that up and came in our image and likeness so that he can get ours back, so that he can get his back into us. It was the ultimate image and likeness exchange, right? It was amazing. So he does what he does. He fulfills that whole debt, and he pays it. And so the disciples, they're learning about Jesus, they're getting discipled, and by this point, they're like hiding, they're freaked out, they're in the upper room, not in the upper room yet, I'm sorry, but they're freaked out, behind closed doors, they shut and lock the door, and so by this point, they believe that Jesus died for them, right? This is the whole process of being saved. They modeled this for us. Then he appears in the room with them, and guess what? Now they believe that he was risen from the grave. Like, love came after them, and there was no closed door, no locked gate that was going to keep him out. So he comes in, and there's the process, being born again, right? Like, they believe that he died and was resurrected from the dead. And then Jesus does something really interesting. He breathes on them. This is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's his way of saying, let's try this again. There's a reason why they call him the second Adam. So now, even though we were born into Adam, born into sin, we are brilliantly born again into new life. So as the Father so proudly breathed life into the first man, now Jesus comes and so proudly breathes life into the new man. And that sure beats... I'm sorry, I'm trying to do something, and it's just not going to happen that way, so never mind. But, yeah, like, it just sure beats the bummer, Christianity, come all ye sinners and get saved, and then in the meantime, you're in this battle that is not even, it's already been beaten, it's already been defeated, he's already done the work, all you have to do is die, okay? And... yeah, no big deal. Die so that you may live. Okay, so I'm going to get into Romans 6 here. Romans 6, starting with verse 3. You could turn there because this is just too good to look over or look past. This is really good. Romans 6, 3. I'm going to turn there too. I need the paper Bible. Okay. Phone just doesn't have the same effect. Actually, we're going to start with 1. Romans 6, 1. Because Paul knows this, and he says, okay, 6:1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin that grace may abound? Right, because he's explaining that the more sin came in the world, the law was the law, and we broke the law, and the more we sin, the more rich the grace, and all this stuff. But he says, by no means. How can we who died this sin still live in it? Like, what do you mean? It's not even part of you anymore. It's not who you are. It's not part of who we are. It's not our identity. And this is big, because there's like an identity crisis. There's this thought process that says, well, until I get there, I'm just going to struggle with sin every day. And that's what I did. But I didn't realize that in the next chapter, Romans 7, it's not for me. Like, I used to think, oh yeah, you know, the flesh is weak, you know, spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Who's he talking to there? He's talking to the disciples before they're born again. Or when Paul says, oh, the very thing I don't want to do, I do, and you know, this war waging within my soul. I was like, yep, I totally relate to that. That's the Christian life. And then I realized Romans 7 is not for me. Woohoo! He says in the beginning, or do you not know, my brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law. Romans 7, that battle, I'm sorry, we're still in 6, but Romans 7, you know, that battle, that dilemma that he's spelling out, he's speaking to those who are under the law, good-hearted, zealous, wonderful people, Jews, who want to do the right thing, but there's this dilemma, there's this sin living inside of them, and it's a sad thing, and it's a really hard dilemma, and they realize that they can't conquer it. Oh, this body of death, who's going to save me? In steps Jesus, thanks be to Jesus, and then Romans 8, which is all about there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, and he speaks about sonship. Anyway, sorry, rabbit trail. Okay, Romans 6:2, by no means, how can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That is so good. So that means baptism is so much more than just what I thought, which is just a public like a public announcement of your faith, right? It is that, but it's so much more. It's literally, I'm going into the water, and you know, what this means is, like, I'm dying to myself. You know, I get dunked, hey, in the water, and come out. So if the pastor held me there too long, I would drown. That would be weird, right? Not supposed to actually die here. That's what Jesus did, okay? So that would be kind of weird. But the important thing that we get, though, here it is, though, ready? In these exercises that God gave us, like baptism and communion, because likewise, if you were actually eating real flesh and blood, that would be weird, right? And really scary. But we're actually engaging in the reality of what these things symbolize, right? So this is a symbol, but we're engaging in the reality, because in the spirit, I've laid down my rights. I'm dead so that I may live. And so now the life I live is just new, and it's wonderful. Okay. Verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. Yay. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. So that means that my body, like the fleshly desires, the old and even the soulless realm, it's given to him and it's brought to nothing so that he can do a new thing in me. He's making all things new. So that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Oh, amen. Okay, so we're getting out of this old mentality of, like, Jesus incorporated. It's not just a part of our life. He is our life, okay? So the gospel is found in not sin, not to reveal sin. Like I've said before, the cross, the point of the cross was never to reveal your sin. That's what the law was for. It's already been revealed. The cross was to reveal your value. And when we understand that, that becomes now the reason for everything that we do. And that's the very thing that just burns inside of me. You know, this gospel just excites me all the time, because it's so much more. I'm out on the streets, and it's no longer, hey, sir, you know, you're doing this wrong thing and you're sinning, whatever, you need Jesus. It's not just that. It's sir, do you know who you were? You were created for something so amazing and so big. You were created to be like God, to look like God. And then we were cut off. And, you know, this sin thing came. And whatever you want to call it, you can call perversion. You can call it corruption. But, man, you know, look around us. It's not that easy to, you know, like to, or it's pretty easy to see, right? The evidence is all over. But Jesus came so he can restore you back to your original value in him. And give you life and put his life inside of you. He sees your potential with him inside of you and he loves you so much and you are so valuable to him. You are like a treasure hidden in the field and he never lost sight and he sold everything. Heaven went bankrupt just to buy you back. Isn't that amazing? That's the gospel. This is the kind of stuff that I get to tell people, and it's just sharing God's heart. You guys getting that? Is that cool? Is that like resonating in you? Because when I hear it, I just leap. It's just like the Spirit just leaps inside of me. It's so good. Because it just, it speaks, it's like, it's the big picture. It's what God is doing, what he has set his eyes on. And so, okay, so a couple notes. We went over dual nature and the lie of the dual nature. It's not just a dual nature, it's a new nature. He's making all things new, right? And righteousness, being born again. That's a whole nother thing. So righteousness, understanding that we are the righteousness of God. It's not just like some far off goal or something that we can't accomplish. Too late, you're already righteous. You're already perfect. Jesus said, be perfect as I am perfect. Would he ask you to do something that you can't do? But it's all about how you see. It's deciding to see things, like we were just talking about, through heavenly perspective, through God's eyes. And by the way, it really helps you with your relationships with other people as well. So now you're out there and you know, because remember, you surrendered your rights, whatever. Like, you know, you have no right to complain. You know, you're at the restaurant and someone, like, totally messes up your order. Instead of, like, practically manifesting and making it, like, you know, the worst day you've ever had. Oh my gosh, my food's a little, like, you know, lukewarm, or like something's up and something's wrong, whatever. Instead of doing it, before you do, just remember, okay, I'm dead. This is a lie. Lord, thank you that this is no longer me. You know, just in case you struggle with that. And then see them through the eyes of the Father. And you can, like, you could be amazed how much that just changes your reaction to life. You could be amazed how much you can just prophesy and have a prophetic voice to the people you love. I am so convinced, because I'm pursuing prophecy and he's already bringing it to pass in so many ways. And all it is, like not to like simplify the whole thing, but all it is just seeing God's heart for humanity. Like, how does God see them? And when you get in touch with his heart, now suddenly you can see them in a different way and you can prophesy over them the destiny and the intent and the love that God has for that person. Okay, so where was I going? So good. Okay. So the gospel, he died to give me back my purpose and destiny and put his very life inside of me so that I can become everything that I was created to be. A son in relationship and intimacy with my Father once again, to be restored back to his image and likeness and reproduce that in the earth everywhere I go. And I think I'm going to start wrapping it up there. We spoke really briefly last week about what it looks like if we dare to believe that we have the glory of the Lord. And in a way, we are the glory of the Lord, which was to cover the earth. Back in the beginning, he breathed his breath on us, right? He created us in his image and his likeness, and then he said, go, reproduce. And like we said, it's not just some scientific reproduction as we would think of it. It's the very manifest glory. Some people say that we were clothed with majesty like he was. I have even heard that once the fall came, we imploded. The spirit was actually on the outside, and now it's in the in. I don't know, but all I know is that we were clothed in the majesty of the Lord because we were made to be like him. And so he gave us a wonderful little commandment, which is to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So that means that we are to fill the earth with his glory. How do we do that? We dare to believe it. We no longer wake up in the morning to fail. Or we no longer wake up in the morning to try to accomplish something, but we wake up in the morning to be and to believe that we are everything that he says we are. You can't be something that you don't believe you are. You can't manifest that. You can't do it. So the first step is always just knowing the way he sees me. So now your prayer, like everything is just laced in this sense of purpose and destiny and value. So, you know, my prayers begin to look different. You know, like I'm not just always hanging my head and, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, or whatever, because all good things start there. That's good. And that means the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, you know, to convict you of what you're doing and not doing. It's all good. But your prayers begin to say, Lord, I thank you that you woke me up this morning, Lord, to magnify and reflect you, Lord. I thank you that you are restoring all things, and that you call me not just a servant, but you call me a son. A son knows his father's business, Lord. So I just take on this inheritance. I thank you that I get to be in relationship with my father. And like Jesus said, like I only do the things that I see my father doing. This is me, and I step out in faith, knowing that this is what you have for me today, Lord. I'm going to see you. I'm going to see the things that you're doing. I'm going to bring these things. I'm going to take from heaven and input it and bring it out, you know, onto this earth, into the earth, into my life, and walk it out, Lord. I thank you, Father, that I am created not for failure, but I'm created in your image today. And that's what my prayers start to look like. And you could be amazed how much, like, when you start to be crazy enough to believe it, it's just awesome. So it has such an amazing effect. So anyway, I'm trying to wonder how we would close it. Is that, we never set that clock back, right? So are we actually, my overtime? 12? Okay, good. So I'm actually just going to open up to pastor and how we want to, if there's a response time or how we want to respond to that. But just remember your value, your purpose, and your destiny. Let's not sell ourselves short by that watered down gospel that says that we're a Christian just to get to heaven. We're a Christian to get heaven back into you. And you're already operating from heaven towards the earth. And we set our minds on those things, right? Where we are seated with him. That's where our minds are. That's where our soul is operating from. It's pouring in. And so let's not ever sell it short again. I just love this gospel. And this gospel, I'm so not ashamed of it. It is the power of salvation for they that believe. I'm just going to pray for us and I'm going to take it from there. So, Lord, I thank you for this gospel, Lord. I pray that you would just quicken this to our hearts, Father. Quicken our hearts to the depth of this gospel, Lord. I just pray that, you know, no matter how, I mean, this was definitely going on a limb, not as structured, but you know what? I just hope that any of this, Lord, through you, not through me, but through your word, that the appetites may have been whetted just for great understanding of who you are, God, and who we are in you. Lord, I just pray that all of us would be that crazy enough to begin to believe everything that you say about us, Lord, and that we believe that we are who you say we are, Father. So we thank you, Lord, and I just seal this word going forward. In Jesus' name, amen.